Well, I don't know about you, but I feel like saying amen after that.
Amen.
And amen and amen.
Amen.
Because that really stirs the heart, doesn't it? That was taking us right to the heart of why we're here this evening and how God can be with us. Let's ask him to open his word to us. Father, we come to you now as those who are needy people. We thank you for your word. We thank you that it can speak to us. And we pray now that the Holy Spirit will open our minds that we might understand what you have to say to us this evening from your word. We ask it in your name. Amen.
Amen.
Well, I don't know about you, but as I grow older, I forget. Many instances, I think perhaps you share that. It's a delight when you talk to younger people and they stumble sometimes and they forget. And you think, well, it's not to do with age then. It's just that they're forgetting. But forgetfulness is part and parcel of the way we are. Do you remember your 10 times? Of course you do. Remember your tables? They're easy, aren't they? So if we went around the room now and asked you, what do you remember? But there are things that you remember that you would prefer to forget because of those experiences that you don't want again. And then there are joys that you rejoice in as you think back and you think, wow, that was good. I enjoyed that. That was something that was a blessing to me. Now, I have this kind of difficulty with dates at times. And it's unforgivable, really, but I try and ask my wife to forgive me each time. Our anniversary is on a particular day, and it's not the 26th, but the 27th of the month. But I'm always a day ahead, and I celebrate it on the 26th, and then my wife corrects me. So this time, I put it in the diary. I put it in the 27th. And, of course, her impish... Ness, she looked through the diary and she saw it. She didn't say a word to me at all. All she did was write in the bottom of that particular entry, right day, wrong month. So I've learnt now the date and the day and the month. So really speaking, I'm there and I won't forget that again. But we forget. We forget. And the verse I want to focus on this evening here is verse 2. Not only bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Forget not all his benefits. Look at verse 3. He forgives and he heals. Look at verse 4. He rescues us from the pit of sin and is loving. Verse 5. He energizes us. Verse 8. He is slow to anger and he's merciful. And it goes on. No wonder the psalmist says, bless the Lord, O my soul. Don't you feel like that is the case if that is your experience? You want to worship him? We looked this morning at Psalm 1. We said, blessed is the man. Now this is the response to that. You are now blessed if you've trusted in him for yourself and you know him as your own personal Saviour, and therefore, find in me, O Lord, we said, didn't we, that grateful and thankful heart, naturally coming from inside us, the praise and worship that is due to his name. And Tozer says this, that we should be in a perpetual state of worship, including a ceaseless praise to a strong and to be strong in the Lord. That's good, isn't it? Thank you, Toza, for that, because that's helpful. But we want to be more than that. We want to remember what God has done for us. In Ecclesiastes, you will know that it says, remember your Creator in the days of your youth. That's wise, actually, because that means that the whole of that person's life will be God-focused, God-orientated, and committed to him. If it's later on in life, we have less to give and less time to give because we are temporal. And that is good advice. Remember your Creator. Do we remember our Creator? Do we remember that he is the Creator? Not only that he is the Creator, but it is a plural. The Creator here is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And we're reminded of that in the New Testament, in John 1 verse 3. All things were made through him. And without him was not anything made that was made. And just in case we didn't grasp it, Colossians comes in again and says, for by him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. So God created this world that we have around us, and he made it for us. Do we remember that? Do we remember the fact that he is the great creator? Or are we not mindful of that? And we think to ourselves, well, it doesn't really matter. I mean, the television program, The Blue Planet, showed us that we are learning what God has created. We don't know what he's created in total, because it's so vast. The universe is so great and so intricate. All things, bright and beautiful, we sang when we were children, didn't we? All things bright and beautiful. And we mean it, because God has created that in that kind of way. The Bible shouts that the heavens declare the glory of God. That's what the Bible says. And we find that because God has created everything in that kind of way, he says that it was good. The Apollo mission. What did they do when they landed? They read Genesis 1. That's what they did. Which is good, wasn't it? Really. Because that went right the way around the world. And what it was this. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the deep. And then God said, let there be light. And there was light. Without light, we are lost. And God created everything so that we might know that he is in charge of everything. And there, Major Peak makes a leap, he says, when he went up and he looked around. He didn't become a Christian, but he says, I now understand what is meant by intelligent design. I know that there must have been somebody who created this in the first place. It didn't just happen, and we must come to that. And we find that we were made as well in God's image. You were created. I was created. Adam was created in the image of God. So we have that God stamp. We said that this morning. God's stamp is upon us because we were created in that kind of way. It's amazing, isn't it, that you and I were created in that kind of way. And you know, sometimes we look at the heavens and the things around us and we think to ourselves, that is great, that is wonderful. But look at the body. Look how intricate you are. Look how wonderful we respond to different situations. Look how the healing takes place in the body. Look how the mind works, the brain. The computers are trying to catch up. That's what they're doing. And really speaking, we are made in that kind of way. And the psalmist says, I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Doesn't stop there, does he? Because Ecclesiastes tells us something different. Additional. The additional fact is that you were made for eternity. God put eternity in the heart of man. So it's not just a body. You have a soul and a spirit and a body, and we will last into eternity. Now, what is the implication of that? Well, we said this morning, and we say it again, that sometimes God's word encourages us. It comforts us, but it also confronts us. And it tells us to look up and to see. How do we know then that we understand how God is reaching out to us? Or how can we understand who God is and how he is? Well, you can't work it out. That's impossible. Because our finite minds cannot understand the things of God completely. I mean, Spurgeon puts it in a very esoteric way. He says, the finite can't grasp the infinite. It's impossible. That leap you cannot make. Unless, of course, God's Spirit intervenes and reveals the Lord Jesus Christ to you. Do you think you're clever, says Ecclesiastes? How do you know the way the Spirit comes to the bones in the womb of the woman with child? So you do not know the work of God who makes everything. Do you know how the Spirit comes in? Ladies, do you know how the children that you bore, how their spirit came? We can describe how the flesh comes, but how does the Spirit come? It's It's imponderable. You cannot explain it. And that is God's work. It is beyond us, beyond our understanding, and we should be saying with the psalmist, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all," and we can add to that, "and all that is within me, bless his holy name." We often use aids for memory, don't we? We tie a knot in a handkerchief, tie a knot in your tie for a gentleman, and then you forget why you tied the knot in the first place. So it's difficult, isn't it, to keep on remembering. And again, it's good psychology sometimes to have that aid to memory. I was speaking in a senior citizen's place, and you have to sign in there, and you have to put the registration of your car down. That's a challenge. So I had to look it up, and I put it down, and it isn't the car I'm driving now, so it doesn't matter. And I got it in the end. It's CN16VGD. And this lady who was just behind me peers over, and she said, "Oh, yes," she said, "VGD, very good driver," she said. I said, "No," she said, "I'm not a very good driver." But, you know, after that, I could remember that registration number without problems. Don't ask me what the one I've got at the moment. I can't remember it. But that's not the point. The point is, it was an aid to memory. It was helpful to me to remember. And throughout the Bible, there are aids to our memory to help us to remember. And the classic one is that of the rainbow. The rainbow comes up, and what does it remind us of? It reminds us that God is not going to judge the world in the same way again that he floods it with rain. Now, you're 1,000 feet above here, and you get the rain. And the rain comes down in sheets, and it doesn't stop, because I know I've worked not far from here. That is something that happens. But the promise is that the world will not flood again. No, that isn't the promise. The promise is this: that Noah obeyed God, he made an ark, the people at that particular time were disobedient, and they turned their faces away from God. He was obedient, and God helped him to make an ark, and his family was saved. So the rainbow reminds us that God is a God of salvation. That's what the rainbow reminds us of. Not just that God isn't good, but God is still a judge. We said that God is merciful, but he's a judge as well. And he judged the world then. And it's going to happen again, that when we pass from this life, it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. And the great, as it were, salvation for Noah's family was there because God was merciful. And God was righteous. He couldn't put up with what was going on. And my word, what goes on in my heart sometimes and in my mind, I'm glad that I have a way whereby I can come and confess my sins to the Lord and know that he will forgive me and take me back to himself. The other story in the Bible that I focused on was Joshua, when they were crossing the Jordan just before they came into the promised land. They were to build stones, and 12 stones. And the reason for that was simply this: that you will remember what has happened to you when you look at those stones. The 12 stones will remind you that God opened a way. And you know, the Bible again tells us time and time again that God has shown us the way to come to him. And he has shown us that we are able to have forgiveness of sins, and we can have that ongoing relationship with him. My word, it really is important that you and I know that we are born from above, that God has come in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. He took our sins and his sorrows, and he made them his very own. He died on the cross of Calvary, and we can trust him for ourselves. In other words, the ark was built, it was an act of faith, and faith worked out. Now, as far as we are concerned, we have a trust in God, and faith comes only through his word redemptively. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing of the Word of God. We're hearing the Word of God this evening. The Word of God tells us to make sure that we know Him as our Saviour and as our Lord. We know that we must come to Him, repent of our sin, and know Him for ourselves. It is important also to know that God will tell us that He will never leave us nor forsake us. No wonder this psalm can be a personal psalm. Bless the Lord, all the congregation. Is that what it says? Bless the Lord, O my soul. It's individual. It's personal. It's significant that that is the case. In the New Testament, we remember this morning the fact that something happened, and we must remember it. We must remember it by command. That is, we were concerned, we were around the Lord's table, and that helped us to remember what's happened to us in the Lord Jesus Christ. But also, the way in which we are able to come to God is helpful, because in this particular part of Scripture, it tells us that He will remember our sins no more. Isn't that good? That the Lord comes in that particular way and is able to help us to be penitent before Him and to know Him for ourselves. Do you remember the thief on the cross? He turns to the Lord Jesus Christ, and what does he say? Remember me when you come into your kingdom. So it's a matter of remembering and knowing for himself that our forgiveness is there. And this is something that Sproul tells us, that remission of sin means that sin is sent away from us. He will remember our sins no more. As far as the east is from the west, verse 12, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. What a blessedness. What a wonderful thing to happen. It's not just your sins are just forgiven. They are thrown into the sea of forgetfulness, and He will remember us no more. Verse 10 tells us what? He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. Isn't that something precious again? That the Lord Jesus Christ will blot out our transgressions completely from us. Oh, no wonder the psalmist says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Then in verse 7 we find that He made known His ways to Moses, His acts to the people of Israel. Now, remember the whole way in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 2, Moses says, remember the whole way in which God led you 40 years in the wilderness. It is easy to forget, and the children of Israel were a motley lot. Just like you and me. That's what they were, because they forgot, they remembered, they forgot, they remembered, they forgot. Do you know, a whole generation didn't know the Lord, didn't know how to follow. And isn't that relevant to our current generation today? Isn't that relevant to me and to you? My grandfather was saved in the 04 revival. I don't know anything about that. I only know what he told me. But at least he told me. Now, what we are experiencing now, we tell our children. Many children don't go to church. They have no idea what God is like. That His mercy is there for them. They have no idea, perhaps, that He was the Creator. And the same here, we find that from generation to generation, there comes sometimes a dilution of our relationship with God. And here we have it, as Moses was with the children of Israel, they grumbled, they complained, and yet God was with them. And the whole generation, as I said, as it were, did not know the blessings of what had happened to them in the wilderness. And yet in Deuteronomy, the longest sermon in the Bible, the book of Deuteronomy, Moses goes through it all. He tells them from beginning to end what has happened to them. And then at the end of Deuteronomy, he says this: I call, he said, upon heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessing and curse. Therefore, choose life, that you and your offspring might live. Choose life, that you and your offspring might live. Have we chosen that for ourselves? Do we know God as our Saviour and as our Lord? Do we know him personally? And can we say, because of that, bless the Lord, O my soul? As we reflect over our lives, we can see where God has been with us. He was with them in the children of Israel. Manna, fresh every day. God was with them as they were walking. The fire by night. Sorry. That's right, isn't it? The fire by night. So that they had light. And a cloud by day. So that they knew that he was following them. What is our life like? Well, there's a glass of water here. Now tell me, if I were to hold it up, would you say, well, it's not quite there yet, so let's put it where it should be. Is that half full, or is it half empty? Do you know, they tell us now that if you think that is half full, you're an optimist and you'll live longer. That's what they tell us now. So, is that full or is it empty? You're all going to say it's half full now, aren't you? Because I've tempted you and teased you to do that. But do you know that the Christian isn't either half full or half empty? His cup is full and overflowing. That's what it is. And that is our portion. And that is why the psalmist says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. That is something that really is something that we can shout from the rooftops ourselves. And then we go into the New Testament and we find Paul's advice to Timothy. What does he say to him? Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead. Not just remember Jesus Christ, but remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead. He is the resurrection and the life. And in him, that is that if we don't believe in the resurrection, then 1 Corinthians tells us very clearly that something is greatly amiss. Let me read it to you, what it says. Now, if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some of you say there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain. Your faith is in vain. It's mighty serious, isn't it? Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead. And that is a leap from that psalm into that because of the fact that the Creator was there. He created everything. Salvation was planned in eternity and delivered in time and for our ongoing salvation. So the challenge for us this evening, as we reflect on this psalm and as what's happened to us in the Lord Jesus Christ, is simply this: that to know him personally for ourselves is a blessing. The resurrection changes everything, completely and utterly. You must remember that and you must hold on to it, because he makes us alive unto God. Verse 5 tells us, who satisfies you with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Oh, give me the energy I had in my youth. Don't you feel like that at times? Don't take me back to the wisdom I had in my youth, but give me the energy I had in my youth. And that is what the Spirit of God does for you. It energizes you. And that is something that we can come and praise and worship him for. Verse 13, what does that tell us? Well, it tells us that we have a heavenly Father. As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. A fatherly love. There for us. Those of us remember our fathers fondly. It is a caring family focus that is here. And if you're in the family of God, God the Heavenly Father is looking at us and caring for us and making sure that we are there. And then verse 17, but the steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting to those who fear him. Before we focus on that, let me take you back to verse 16 and verse 15. As for man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like the flower of the field, for the wind passes over it, and it is gone, and its place knows it no more. We live as if we're here forever. We do. We don't think about the fact that we are here, just but for a moment, to the praise and glory of God. It's warm here, see, isn't it? I'm finding it warm anyway. Never mind. We find that the time that we are here flashes by. It's a one-way street. And God has made it such that he will be with us, and he's promised to be alongside us. If you go to the Chester Cathedral, how many of you have been to Chester Cathedral? Well, there's a clock in Chester Cathedral, and this is what is written underneath the clock. When as a child I laughed and wept, time crept. When as a youth I waxed more bold, time strolled. When I became a full-grown man, time ran. When older still I daily grew, time flew. Soon I shall find in passing on, time gone. And then it says, O Christ, will thou hast saved me then? With an amen at the bottom. Henry XII, 1823 to 1900, wrote that. It's there. Anybody going into Chester Cathedral will be challenged by that, to know that they must think about the fact that we are here just but for a moment. James says we are like a vapor. We come, we exist, and we've gone. And that's it. But in that time, the psalmist wants us to bless the Lord. Oh my soul, every day, every moment. Why? Because verse 17 tells us this. But the steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting for those who fear him. Do we fear him? Not in a fearful way, but in a reverential way, in a filial way, coming to God as our holy and heavenly Father, as somebody who cares for us more than we could care for ourselves. And it is from everlasting to everlasting. So the temporariness doesn't apply. It's an everlasting blessedness that can be ours. So why can't we end as the psalmist ends? What does he say? Bless the Lord, O my soul. And I want to add, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Forget not all his benefits. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Don't you feel like that this evening? Let's bow before him. And if we don't feel like that, let's ask him to make us feel like that. To open our eyes that we might see that God is a loving, merciful Heavenly Father who can come into our lives, change us, and make us into new people. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the book of Psalms. And we thank you for David's worship of you in this particular psalm. We thank you for the reminders that are there about the fact that you are merciful, that you are kind, that you are generous, and that you can forget our sins and our sorrows. We thank you that it is an everlasting joy that can be ours if we trust in you. So if we don't know you, Lord, take the scales from our eyes that we might see you as the Lord of glory, as the Creator who made it possible for the Lord Jesus Christ to come and become our Saviour. So accept our thanks this evening. And those of us who know you for ourselves, we pray that you will find in us that worshipful praise in every step we make, every day of the week, every year we live, because we ask it in your name. Amen. Let's turn to our hymn books then and sing our last hymn this evening, which is another great hymn.